Yes, folks, here I am. I am Maurice Cerrone from Ahenny Manshaven. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with the trusted local news and talk. Our production engineer today is John Couch. Welcome, Couch. It's nice to be with you again. It's always a pleasure working with John and the fine people here at the Bustos Medium on KVOI of AM 1030. So I hope we have some interesting things for you here today. If you'd like to give us a call and respond and react to some of the things we talk about, please do. Our phone number here at the studio is 520-790-2040. A little bit about Ahenny Manshaven as we transmit in the Ahenny Manshaven radio studio. Our Tucson address is at 1724 South 6th Avenue. We're the big yellow building, six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're on the west side of the street between 27th and 28th Streets in that location. Our phone number is 520-624-7200. Our hours of operation in Tucson are from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Closed for various holidays, as well as some family activities that arrive periodically. We have a Green Valley location at the north end of Green Valley. If you exit off of the Duval Mine Road, immediately get into the left-hand lane as you enter into the east highway structure there to approach the frontage road. The address is 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. The phone number on location is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation are Monday through Friday from 8:30 in the morning to 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon. Lots of activities going on at Ahenny Manshaven. Some of them we've talked a little bit about in the past, but we'll talk a little bit more about them. And that is the high school that we're working with in the Tucson area in their ILS room, which I believe is Individual Life Skills, as they teach the high school students various skills that they need to get along in life. I do know that when I was in high school, these were courses that we took on finance, as an example, and personal hygiene. It was called health at the time. Talked about clothing, talked about taking care of ourselves in our home and how to assist with the family in the various activities, the responsibilities that go along with it, learning how to cook, learning how to do your laundry, separating the whites from the colors, and all sorts of things of that nature. And finance, learning how to write checks. Maybe not too many people write checks today, but still to balance your checkbook, learn about cash flow, and things of that nature. Life skills, as it's labeled today. And so we've been improving the facility at one of the high schools so they could provide for the students, whether they're in needs or they have the position in their life where they need some assistance from other activities to help them complete their high school education and move on. So anyway, we're installing cabinetry and ensuring that the area that is going to be the responsibility, they'll have refrigerators, they'll have storage facilities, they'll have a food bank, they'll have a clothing bank, they'll have washers and microwaves and dishwashers from that standpoint, and sinks in order to go through all the life skills that are needed. Many times, at least in my era, we had home economics, we had sewing, we had other financial type things that we used to attend, as well as health and et cetera, to learn about these life skills, of which the parents were much appreciative for these types of activities. We all enjoyed them with the various activities that we had to work at and perform, such as wood shop and welding and a lot of skills orientation that many of us in what I call the high maturation level of life today realize how significant those items were in order to develop us for the life that comes upon. Some items that have been occurring at A Handyman's Haven, they're sort of reoccurring in a way, is that we end up getting requests for repairing many cabinet doors or drawer boxes or front faces. So we do have the capability of either repairing them. Some of the ones that come in, I don't know how we could ever repair them, but we do have the techniques available to put many things back together again and make it look rather pristine from that standpoint if the customer elects not to expense out buying a brand new door or drawer front or drawer box, whatever that may happen to be. So you can really do a lot in your cabinetry, as an example at home, of fixing up your doors or drawers and et cetera. And all you have left to do is to take care of the facing frame. I know the face frame of the cabinetry. I know last week we talked about refacing, and in one aspect, this could be a refacing operation for you, or it can be just repairing one of the doors. We do have difficulty sometimes in matching the stains, and the reason being is that we may be able to identify the wood that your drawer front or door has been fabricated from, but being that we're using brand new wood, so to speak, versus the old wood that's already aged, we could come close to matching the stain, but in time, the UV rays, the ultraviolet rays with lights and sun and everything else will change the composition coloring of the wood and to move on from that standpoint. So we do have the expertise of repairing doors and drawer fronts. If you have any difficulty with those, be it your renters or your own children at home or adult children at home, or whatever it may happen to be that have caused some discomfort in your cabinetry. So keep that in mind from that standpoint. One of our other major activities that we completed a couple projects recently is that due to water damage in the homes, normally around the sink area, what happens is that when restoration companies come in, they may end up preserving the front faces of the cabinetry, depending on how extensive the water damage is, but that may be something that you ought to consider when it occurs. Hopefully it doesn't occur, but a lot of times it does. That we can take those front face frames, which normally is the drawer front, the doors themselves, the face frame of the cabinetry, and build a brand new box behind it, because that's normally what gets destroyed due to water damage. The most difficult part of that is recognizing that you do have water damage coming on, and as a result of that, it's hard to detect because of the way the cabinets and the flooring is installed, or it may just be a slow drip, or if you happen to have a filtering system, a lot of times the filtering strip, the system goes awry, and with the leakage, and you may not recognize that that is the case. I do remember one incident many years ago that a customer came in and told us of a leak they had, and the way they found out about it, since it was a post and a beam type home, in other words, there was a big crawl space underneath the home, the way it was constructed, that they found that the decking that was holding their floor together, or the substrate as we call it, became mushy as they were walking along the floor, and they said, oh, we got some problems here, and they found out that the filtering system was acting up and was going down underneath the vinyl flooring that they had installed and attacking the substrate. So those are things that can occur, but we can repair we actually build a brand new carcass, that's a floor, that's two sides and a back, and weave that into the existing face frame, and you have a cabinet that is much better than it was from years ago. So we can do that. One of the other things we've been working on quite extensively is a seamless countertops, normally made out of a laminate from that standpoint. By going out and templating, like I call the big stone people do, stone being any natural stone that nature has produced for us, as well as the engineered stone product that we call quartz. Of course, quartz is actually mined from the earth, but we can create a countertop that is, in my opinion, as good, if not better than the natural stones or the quartz countertops at a much lower price. So if you're interested in those types of countertops, come down and see us. We've produced those in the past, and we got about six of them on the docket at the present time, especially with a 90-degree corner that has an angle sink within it itself, and that being in mind, it does lend itself to having a nice, no seams around the sink area in order to produce the disformation of the countertop as it tries to expand and contract around a miter. John, I'm looking at the time here. I got too many clocks to look at. Which one should I be looking at today? Are we through for the first 15 minutes for this? Okay, great. Folks, we're going to take a break right now of our first segment. We'll be back shortly. And so, John, please take it away. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice Cerrone. We're transmitting in the A. Handy Man's Haven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. We've been talking about some of the activities going on at A. Handy Man's Haven. If you'd like to enter into the conversation, please do. We invite you to give us a call at 520-790-2040. Laminate countertops are always less expensive than any other type of countertop that you can acquire or utilize in whatever activities, in whatever rooms that you would like to install a countertop for, a work center or a garage center or whatever it may happen to be. But at A. Handy Man's Haven, we do stock seven colors of countertops in 12-foot pieces that have a fully formed backsplash. So the backsplash is an integrated part of the countertop itself. Those countertops, if you just want to come down and buy one and take it home, that's $108, far less than what you're going to pay for a natural stone or a quartz countertop. A lot of times people poo-poo laminate from the past, at least those of us who lived in the 1900s when Formica first came out with their laminate countertop. Today, there's also Wilson Art that produces laminate countertops, as well as Pionite and Nevermar. You can go online to their websites and see all the nice colors that they have. They also have complimentary samples that you're able to acquire that should give you a good idea on the coloration of the countertop itself. So whether you need it for your kitchen or bathroom, $108, you can pick up a 12-foot piece that has the integrated or integral type backsplash for $108. And again, I emphasize it's far less than any natural stone or quartz countertop that's available. All the straight cuts, if you want us to cut it for you, are complimentary. If you'd like to have a miter or a splice cut, we can accomplish that for you. If you want the ends finished, we can also do that and get this set up for you. That's so, as a do-it-yourselfer that many of you folks are out there, you can pick up the countertop, take it home, and install it yourself, and do a considerable savings over working with the stone countertops. So, and if you like, you could have us do it all for you, and you could take it home and install it. Our seamless corner countertops that we've talked about a little earlier, or 45-degree corners, and especially when it gets involved with a diagonal sink arrangement in a corner, we get a little skittish about that because that's a multiple series of splices that have to be accomplished. And with that, you have lots of opportunity to create some looseness of those countertops as the homes expand and contract on a daily basis. So we can prevent that from happening by taking the splices away from the dishwasher and the sink areas and reduce the potential for that happening. We can also make sure that when we build your countertop for you, that the laminate splice does not line up with the substrate splice, thereby eliminating the separation of the pieces itself as it likes to expand and contract. Another thing that's been occurring, and this happens, it seems to happen on occasions, and when it does, it seems like we're getting two or three or four of them, but customers do like to question us on whether we install cabinetry. We are certified by the Arizona Register of Contractors to install cabinetry in certain locations, especially in the unincorporated area of Pima County. And as a result of that, I don't know whether the customer is hesitant or the contractor is hesitant in coming down to witness the cabinet design that we produce for a customer, that's so they can understand how the cabinets get installed. And one thing that we do recognize occurs, and it's rather interesting, and the reason always seems to be the same, is that installers want to install the upper cabinets first because they can get closer to them and get them installed on the wall. Well, I don't notice very many installers being approximately 7 to 7.5 feet tall, because that's the upper level of most cabinetry. And that's been in many, many months previous, as well as the 1900s. And that's at the 84-inch level off the floor. We do have cabinets that many times we take to 90 inches off the floor or 96 inches off the floor. And so the installer installs the upper cabinets first and then tries to fit in the base cabinets from that standpoint with all the appliances, that being the dishwasher, the stove, and the refrigerators. And it ends up causing some problems. So we've had some issues with that this past week, in that the installer is unable to read the design, whether they're fearful or do not want to take the time to come down and understand how the cabinetry have been designed in order to complete their install on a very, very professional basis. And then when it comes to the countertop and things don't work quite right, we can't figure out what the status is. And unfortunately, this many times, if not almost all the time, incurs an additional cost to the customer, because sometimes the base cabinets or the upper cabinets have to be removed and then reinstalled, or new parts need to be put in order to handle the situation. So we've got two of those ongoing at the present time, and it's really a shame that that does occur. So anybody is out there is getting ready to do a cabinet job, make sure your installer, if you've selected yourself, is intimately involved with the design of your cabinetry. So number one, that person can contribute to items that he may be more familiar with and that will work better in certain specific locations, or he is aware of how we as designers design things from that standpoint. We do the best job we can with what we have available. We do have a computer-assisted design program that has all the cabinetry for the specific company that the customer is interested in, integrated right into the design. So with the proper measurements, we can put out a outstanding design for the customer itself, that's so they can get the present look. We do design from the bottom or from the floor up. We don't design from the top down, because invariably we'll have to move all the base cabinets because we find out something is imminent that wasn't discussed to start off with. We do need to know where your exterior vent system is for your stove, be it a microwave vent or be it just a standard hood-type vent system, whether it goes up through the ceiling. If we cannot move that for any reason, then that becomes a primary restriction on the design of the cabinetry for wherever you plan on using them. So keep that in mind from that standpoint. Very, very important that we do this. So I know that when I went on property a while back, we had to have the island move because, I stand corrected, the peninsula move because it was too close to the end of the wall, and the countertop that they wanted on the peninsula was going to extend into the walkway and not be right up against the wall like it should have been. We also found out in another job, it was an angled corner one, and they put the dishwasher right up against the angled corner, And now the sink would not fit into the sink area from that standpoint due to the plumbing and everything else that was there. So these do create a lot of situations. So we'll discuss that when you come down, and we'll try to get that straightened out for you from that standpoint. Well, we're coming upon our second break at the present time period, so we're going to have John take it away, and we'll see after break. We're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. Yes, folks, we hammer in the morning, and we hammer in the afternoon, hammer in the evening. However, be careful about hammering in the evening. You may have to replace it the next morning because things don't quite look like they're supposed to be. Anyway, we're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. I'm Maurice from A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio. We do have a Tucson location at 1724 South 6th Avenue. We have a Green Valley location at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas. We're talking about installation of cabinetry and things that can go astray. And I remember a story of several months ago, designed a kitchen for this customer and asked about the installer. And we always do extend an invitation to the customer to bring their installer down. Or if they're installing their stuff, we go over some prime details that will hopefully make their job a lot easier. But as we're walking back to get the cabinets loaded, and the installer did come in to pick up the cabinetry, and also the customer came in as they paid for the cabinets. But for some reason, the installer got separated from the customer as they were going to the shipping area where we load the cabinetry. And he pulled me aside and he says, "You know, I've never installed a Lazy Susan in my life. Do you have any tips and ideas on how to install a Lazy Susan which goes in a corner?" And it was a good thing that I was within some support system, because I'm sort of joking in a way, but I could have hit the floor pretty easy to think that this guy here was going to install these cabinets and he'd never installed a Lazy Susan. And the intricacies associated with installing cabinetry. Anyway, I gave him a couple tips because we were walking to the back, they were getting ready to inspect the cabinets and get them loaded. But I thought that was an interesting comment. Experienced individual asking me how to install cabinetry. We do have some ideas on how to install cabinetry since we design them from the floor up. It is a three-dimensional install, by the way. So you have to make sure they're plumb. You have to make sure that they're even. You have to make sure that they're all level. You surely don't want a pencil to roll off your countertop, as an example. That's going to indicate that any water that you have there is going to roll off and run down the cabinetry. And I have seen that happen on installs. So do keep that in mind, that the installer that you do hire is intimately involved and knows what's taking place from that standpoint. They do have to follow the plan. If they do miss a certain thing and they take some liberty to do things differently, then the cabinetry may not fit. And as a result of that, it could mean additional cabinets for the customer to purchase because the contractor themselves are taking liberty of doing whatever they want to do. We do start at the bottom in designing the base cabinets and get everything placed accordingly. And then the uppers just sort of fall in place, and we use the appropriate fillers if we need to in order to accomplish that. So the stoves, the refrigerators, the electrical outlets, the vents in the ceiling, all that's important. Model numbers of all the appliances are really critical. In fact, some companies request that we provide them with the model numbers ahead of time because they do cross-check us to make sure that things are appropriately taken care of. Did have a customer recently. We had gone out to template their countertop, and all of a sudden, fortunately, before we got started in producing their countertop, we received a phone call and said, "Well, we've moved some of the cabinets around because things weren't working right. They were working right when I was out there, but for some reason, the customer didn't like them, the way they were operating, and they started moving cabinets around, and so guess what? We had to go back out and retemplate the job. That did incur an additional cost to the customer because that's not normally the way it operates from that standpoint. So once the cabinets are installed, once all the appliances are there, then we can accomplish the templating for you, be it either a natural stone quartz or for the others, there will be an additional charge as we go back on property in order to verify what's taken place. Again, if you'd like to enter into the conversation, please do. Give us a phone call here at the studio at 520-790-2040. That's 520-790-2040 from that standpoint. Many of you folks have been hearing out there that we're short of a tradesman, and that surely is a big job, not only, I shouldn't say a big job, but a big concern to everybody, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. Some time ago, I discussed that there was the Townsend Company did a survey of some 40 countries in the world, and the United States was one of them, has a major problem in that they do not have adequate amount of tradespeople in order to accomplish the projects that need to be taken care of. This is also true in Tucson. Many people have left during the depression or whatever we had a while back, starting in 2007 for up to about 2011 or 12. And many of the tradespeople have left. And today we're retraining a lot of the tradespeople, or also because of the school systems not having the vocational arts available. JTED is coming along to give us some assistance. But anyway, there has been some improvement in the United States as an example. In December of 2018, there was 38,000 new jobs filled in the construction field. Extremely significant from that standpoint. And for the entire year of 2018, there was over 280,000 construction jobs filled. That was an increase of 4% over 2017. Even though the unemployment was about 3.9%, wage and growth in the construction field seems to increase and continue on an upward trend. Looks like we have a phone call. And Charles, welcome to the show. How may I assist you today?
I would love for you to do, not necessarily today, I would love for you to do a show, or at least a portion thereof, on how to measure. In other words, the principles of getting a good measurement, where to start from, how things should be squared and plumbed and all that, square and plumb and how to make sure they are. I wish you would devote a whole program to that, because I suspect, I don't know, because, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of everything you do, but I'm just going to bet that most of the mistakes that are made with cabinets have some form of the mistake made in the measurements.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. We do talk to the people that come into the store that do not have any measurements with them, and all they have is, well, I think these are the cabinets we need, et cetera. I can devote a show to that. I don't know whether a whole hour would be justified, because but it's really not that difficult to measure. Probably the most important thing is that when you take a look at a tape measure and you need to write down the measurements, it's better not to use the technique of it's 22 inches and three small lines.
Right. Description that you used on the air a couple months ago.
Well, that happened to me, so that's an actual fact. So.
Right. Well, it's funnier when it's based in real life. That's what makes, I think, comedy funny, is that it has a ring of truth to it.
Well, that's true. And another example that we had some time ago, this was a couple of years back, but customer came in and said that they need a big door. And I says, okay. I says, what do you need a big door for? He says, well, I got a big closet. I says, well, great. You know, I says, what's the width of this big closet? Well, I don't know. I just need a big door. And I says, well, I'd started using some hand motions. And I says, you know, what's the opening from the left side to the right side? He says, I just told you I need a big door. And so we went round and round about that a couple of times. And then I finally says, you know, sir, I got the ideal thing for you. I got a little snippy, I guess you may say. I says, you know, I can get you a big door to fit your big opening for your big closet at a big price. And he looked at me and he turned around and walked out of the store, and I have never seen him since.
Probably no loss.
Yeah, no loss. But the three small lines one did get me a while back. And I think the story I told, I said, maybe somebody will think I'm sexist in that way. But after she called her male partner at home, she got off the phone and says, yep, he agreed that it was 22 or something in three small lines. So I sort of redeemed myself when he said that. Yeah. So anyway, okay,
you know,
I will give that some consideration. So
I'm thinking in the modern time, if somebody comes to you with their measurements of a cabinet, it wouldn't be a bad thing to have them snap a picture of it with their phone and show you the actual measurement.
That is an ideal way of doing it. There's also an app available. I don't know the name of it. I know my son Vianney uses it. I haven't got it on my phone since I don't do most of the measuring. But there's an app that you could measure that, take a picture of it, and then you can put it right on the app when you get through. And it's a perfect setup, and it, as the picture indicates, exactly what the width and the height or whatever it may happen to be. But it is an interesting concept. Good measurements are important. So
there is a place on the internet called can'tfindmytapemeasure.com, but maybe it's better not to go there.
Yeah, we'll need to put a microchip in it, and hopefully it doesn't get dislodged. So I appreciate
right.
the comments
have
very
nice
much, Charles. So.
Bye.
You have a great weekend. Very good. Anyway, we're talking a little about construction employment at that. So it looks like it's on the up and up. Getting good tradesmen is a very, very difficult operation. I did have a situation in my own personal case, and I'm sort of embarrassed about it to a certain extent, but I had a water problem at my home. And for some reason, I did not have water coming to a certain area that where there should have been water. So anyway, I got together with a couple people, and we tried to get it all figured out. And I had envisions of having to tear up an entire front yard, as an example, to find out where the piping would be, of why we weren't getting water. And then all of a sudden, somebody recognized that there's a valve over here, and what's that valve for? I says, I don't know what the valve for. Well, the valve is turned off. I says, oh, really? He says, well, yeah. So we checked another area, and sure enough, there wasn't water in that area, and I know it was controlled by that valve. So somehow this valve got turned off, and I was a little embarrassed in trying to figure out why we weren't getting water to a certain area, only to find out that somehow, mystically, I guess it was the stealth plumber in a way that came in and turned the water off to this valve. So all of a sudden, I got water back to the area where I'm supposed to have it. So become very, who knows what happens in these sorts of things when you're working with items of that type of operation. Single Family Starts. In one of our trade magazines that I've been looking at recently, that single family starts are weaker in the West than they have been in other parts of the United States. And I thought that was pretty interesting, because I know that most of the home builders that I know of are actively working, especially the custom home builders. And that's extremely significant. I know last week I talked to about one home builder that started from scratch and has got his house sold within about a week. So it's weak, but not that weak. It's still moving up as time goes on, but there has been some downturn as things continue. Well, we've completed the enough time for our third segment to be over with, and we'll standing by with on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk. And Mr. John, please provide us. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I'm Maurice Cerrone. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk in the A. Handy Man's Haven Radio Studio. So nice to be talking to you folks today. Give us a call if you have any questions. I see we do have a phone caller by the name of Dave. Welcome to the show, Dave. How may I assist you today?
Yeah, I was curious. You know, you're talking about measuring from the floor up for your cabinetry. And is that from your finished floor, is whatever material you want in your remodel, or is that from your original foundation and then tiled up to the cabinets?
Well, the only critical part of measuring from the finished floor or from the original floor would be is what is the height to your ceiling? And that becomes something that we could determine and recognize in our comments. So as an example, if you've got your old flooring happened to be, say, a vinyl floor, or as we used to call it, linoleum or congoleum, which is only about an eighth of an inch thick, and you measure up and you got, let's say, a true 96 inches or a true 84 inches, that's great. Then you lay Saltillo tile down, as an example, which is a good inch, inch and a quarter. And if you measure from that up, you're going to be at maybe 83 or 84, it'd be 83 inches or 82 and something. So that means that it could be that the spacing between your upper level cabinetry and the countertop will be less than the theoretical 18 inches. So
the height.
That's something that we, you know, would like to know this so we can just explain to you what takes place. Now, is
so
less
I
than
18... What I'm asking,
go
I
ahead.
Guess what I'm asking is, do I want to put my finished floor in first and then put my cabinetry in?
Well, my suggestion is yes. You do want to put your finished floor in first and then put
all
your
the
cabinetry
to the,
in second.
To the walls and everything. Okay.
All the way to the walls. It may cost you a couple extra shekels along the way. Because that's, you know, it could be 2 square feet times whatever length it is. If it's 10, that's 20 square feet. And if you're paying $4 or $5 per square foot in order to get your tile and get it laid, you know, you're talking about 20 times $5. You're talking about another $100. But what you do prevent in that case is creating a lake underneath an area where you may have a water source, such as your sink or dishwasher. Or ice maker, whatever you may happen to have. And a lot of times today with refrigerators and having the ice system requiring water, obviously, you've got at least 3 areas or maybe 4 areas with a garbage disposal that can create a leak. So you create a moat, not a moat, but you create an area that's a lake, as I call it, that the cabinetry sets in it. And people say, well, why is that of a concern? Well, that's why we have these water leaks. That's why restoration companies are actively busy every day of the year in removing cabinetry and trying to solve the problems that water creates when it's developing mold and algae for you. So, yes,
okay,
I would.
That was very helpful.
Yeah. And the other thing is, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic or persnickety with tile setters, it's almost like countertop people. I've never known them to admit that they've destroyed part of a cabinetry or damaged a cabinetry as they're laying their tile or whatever it may happen to be. With power
and
tools and things
of
that.
You get your dishwasher to fit in there.
Well, yes, you have to get your... So underneath your dishwasher and underneath your stove and underneath the refrigerator, or if you happen to have a under-counter cooling system of some sort, that should be on the original floor that you, the brand new floor that you're putting on, because those do need to slide in and out underneath the countertop. So,
okay. Well, that was very helpful. Thank you.
Well, very good. I appreciate the phone call, and you have a very pleasant day.
You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, remodeling. One of the things on remodeling I like to consider is striving for longevity of the product that you're planning on using. And I know money is important. It's important to everybody. But in one aspect, if you buy something and you are shorting yourself on the quality of product that you're purchasing, then somewhere down the line, you're going to have to replace that product because of the inconsistency of the product or the lack of quality of that product. So there's a couple of things that I like to look for. One is a product easy to install? Because that's going to take a lot of time and effort and energy from that standpoint. Is it low in maintenance once it is installed? And I think that's extremely significant. So when it comes to trim and molding and things of that nature, certain trims and moldings in certain locations in a home take a pretty good beating. As an example, many homes have what we call baseboard that sets on the top of the tile or sets on the top of laminate flooring or engineered wood flooring of some aspect. And yes, if you're buying 800, 900, 1,000 linear feet of baseboard at $2 a foot, as an example, you got quite an expense sitting there. And then it may have to be painted and et cetera. And then it has to be installed. And if it is of a weaker quality than what would normally be purchased, then vacuum cleaners and brooms and all sorts of items of that nature as you're cleaning your home are going to damage it from being bumped up against it. It almost reminds me of a situation that where we were doing a door bid in a complex, and the individual that called us said they want to put a steel plate on the door because they've got all these markings on the door, and he was convinced that it came from renters of the facility in that they were taking their suitcases that are on mobile carts and bang it into the door. But I noticed that all the markings were the same elevation, and finally I started measuring them, and sure enough, they're all within about an eighth of an inch of each other. So we start exploring areas that they may have had available to them that was creating it. And after about 15, 20 minutes of the discussion, he finally realized that they had some carts that they were utilizing and that possibly these carts were creating the problem, and then maybe it had been their own employees. So sure enough, we found the carts, we measured it and matched it up, and it was a perfect fit. And it was a nice steel rod going around the top of the cart. All the canvas was being worn out. And so as they were moving these carts in and out of the room for cleaning, guess what? They were creating these marks on these beautiful 1 3/4 inch birch finished doors that happened to be fire rated. And to get those doors replaced, like he wanted to have them replaced. And I don't know what he did. I know that we didn't get the job. From that standpoint, because I begged off of it. It was going to require us $1,500 a day up front to have the certification people come in and watch us refinish these doors because we were not certified on a national basis of taking care of fire-rated doors. And needless to say, that would have been passed on to the customer. And I guess we were all sitting down at the time period because that wasn't going to work very well. There was about 50 doors, if I remember right, that had to be refinished as a result of this. So anyway, that has to be considered. So ease of installation, low maintenance, even though with the creative designs that are available. And when we get involved with trim, like we were talking about for baseboard, you have medium density fiberboard, which has its advantages. You have solid woods, dimensional lumber, so to speak, that has been molded with cutters in order to comply with the design. There are composites available today. Some of these need to be painted. Some of them are stain grade. Some of the composites can be painted. Composites may be termite proof and rot proof from that standpoint, and that'd be something to consider. MDF, there is advantage with MDF. It's lighter in weight, easy to install. And it also conforms to the changes in dimensions of the walls or the flooring, whatever it happens to be, because it is flexible. Some people do not like it because it's too flexible, but there are some advantages from that standpoint. A nice technique after you get through painting the molding, you paint it first before you install it. And then wherever you find the locations to put your fastener in, especially nails, brad nails, or with an air gun, put a piece of paint masking tape over the point, then shoot the nail in, leave the masking paint on, then you can touch up over the masking tape, and when it's all dried and finished, then you can remove the masking tape and you have a perfect match to the hole that you just derived from the 23-gauge nail or the 16-gauge nail that you've penetrated. Well, folks, we're coming to the end of the show on AM 1030, The Voice with Trusted Local News and Talk, and we'll see you next week.